Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Vastamai, good evening. Welcome to the programme where we're going to take you through the main news of the day before 5.30. Coming up, we're going to bring you the details of what happened in Ramsey at the weekend. That's in a couple of minutes. Also tonight, fewer than a quarter of doctors on the island would recommend their workplace, apparently. That's according to a local union. Changes to livestock trade rules are hitting the island hard and farmers are demanding more political attention. And have you ever wondered what it's really like to be the parent of a road racer? We're going to hear from two mums whose sons both race the mountain course. We'll also have a look at the weather, the latest traffic and travel as well. Anything to avoid on your way home. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can email studio@manxradio.com. We'll start though with a roundup of the main news headlines with Amy Fastamai.
Fastamai. The dates for an initial round of meetings and hearings about plans for an offshore wind farm in Manx waters have been announced. The application for 87 wind turbines off the east coast is due to be scrutinised by an independent examining body next month. Doctors on the Isle of Man feel the system they're working in prevents them doing everything they can for their patients. That's the view of the chair of the British Medical Association after an annual survey by the union found less than a quarter of doctors at Manx Care would recommend it as a place to work, despite evidence of improvement elsewhere. Manx Care says it's doing a lot of work to tackle concerns, but Dr. Tom Dolphin says the results are damning.
It's very clear that whilst they're trying to do what they can for patients, they feel that the system that they're working in prevents them from doing everything they think should be being done for patients.
Police have released pictures of three individuals they'd like to speak to in relation to an incident near Sam Webb's pub in Douglas last month. It happened between 3 and 3.30 in the morning on Sunday the 4th of January. A well-known dancer and teacher from the Isle of Man has been recognised for his over 40 years of outstanding contribution to Manx culture. Ewan Garrett, who's also the founder and chairman of Shanachisdhu Celtic Festival, is this year's recipient of the Rae Bliana Vananan Award.
You see the names on those trophies and they're names that roll off the tongue for me growing up, and to be amongst their company is really an honour and a privilege and quite humbling.
Turning to international news now, and there's growing pressure on the British Prime Minister after the Labour leader in Scotland became the most senior figure in the party to call on him to quit. Cabinet ministers have been rallying behind Sir Keir Starmer, while his former deputy Angela Rayner's urging her colleagues to come together. A nursery worker has been found guilty of multiple sexual offences against children in his care. Nathan Bennett abused 2 and 3-year-olds at his workplace in Bristol. The 30-year-old from Bath will be sentenced next month. And a new streaming service is launching in the UK and Ireland. HBO Max will be available through Sky and Amazon from the 26th of March and will give viewers access to shows like Emmy winner The Pitt. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Amy. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Not too bad, really. Cloudy and often dry this evening and overnight. There is still the risk of the odd outbreak of rain at times. Fresh, locally strong southeast winds. So minimum temperatures overnight will be around 6. And little change to start tomorrow. Cloudy, mainly dry. A more significant band of rain will approach for later in the day, though, in case you missed it. Fresh to strong east or southeast winds and top temperatures tomorrow will be around 9. And just looking ahead to Wednesday, more rain, mainly moderate winds and highest temperatures again around 9.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just coming up to 5 past 5. So there was an incident in Ramsey on Saturday which saw armed police called out to the Tesco car park on Bowring Road. The store had to be closed for the remainder of the day and of course there was a big emergency response in the area at the time. Lewis is with me just now. Lewis, take us back then to what we first heard on Saturday.
Hi Beth. So yeah, on around 2:30 in the afternoon on Saturday, police put out this message on social media saying officers were dealing with a serious incident. And like you said, this was in the car park of the Bowring Road Tesco in Ramsey. We had a reporter there at the time who captured images showing the front of the store taped off and police officers keeping guard. A statement issued later in the day confirmed police had been responding to reports of a male being assaulted in the area. In response, both uniformed officers and specially trained firearms officers were deployed. By Saturday evening, they confirmed the incident had been resolved safely. One male has received hospital treatment for his injuries, which have been described as not life-threatening. Police also confirmed that two arrests have been made.
And Lewis, there was also some footage circulating online as well.
Yes, and it's been determined that this was showing part of the arrest on a bus travelling from Ramsey to Douglas. On that, the constabulary says, "We recognise that the footage may cause concern. However, we would like to reassure the community that there is no ongoing risk, as well as take the opportunity to thank passengers who were on the bus at the time for their cooperation in allowing the officers to safely work."
Okay, so that was Saturday. What have we heard since then?
Well, yesterday, the constabulary posted that the Tesco store in Ramsey would be reopening as normal, but that there would be a police presence in the area. We've had no further details regarding the individuals who were arrested. Officers have, however, been appealing for anyone with information to get in touch on 631 212 or anonymously via Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111.
Lewis, thank you very much indeed. You can find those details on the Manx Radio website. Now, a union representing doctors on the Isle of Man says fewer than one quarter of medics at Manx Care would recommend the organisation as a place to work. So these findings come from the British Medical Association's annual survey, which asks members about their working conditions and also the standard of care provided by the health service. The results raise further questions about recruitment, retention and morale within the island's healthcare system, as Siobhan Fletcher reports.
The actual figure is that 60% said that Manx Care was not listening enough, and that is reflected when you have conversations with doctors around the hospital. And I've been talking to doctors while I've been here on the island, and it's very clear that whilst they're trying to do what they can for patients, they feel that the system that they're working in prevents them from doing everything they think should be being done for patients, that there are barriers to some of the best care being given, that the standard of care they know they should be able to deliver is something that sometimes, not always, but sometimes they're prevented from doing, just the resources aren't available to them. The staffing isn't there to be able to do everything that the patients need.
So how is Manx Care responding to the survey? Well, I asked Medical Director Dr. Chris Stockport for the healthcare provider's take.
We take it really seriously. You know, there are areas in the survey that we know we want to see better. In nearly every one of those areas, there's a great improvement compared to last year. In fact, of 27 or so of the 30 questions in there, the scores this year are better than last year. So lots of space for us to bring about further improvements, but also consistent signs that we're on the right journey.
What has Manx Care been doing to tackle the issue since the last survey? You mentioned the Senate. Is there other things as well?
Yeah, so we regularly meet with the BMA. I regularly meet with doctors across the organisation. I always ask, my colleagues always ask about, you know, how it feels. And we take the responses into consideration. So what you're seeing here over the course of the last year or so is a consistent listening and then putting into action. And I think that accounts for why we're making strong progress in each of those areas.
That is Dr. Chris Stockport, who is talking to Siobhan there. So it's coming up to 10 past five here on Update. The Manx National Farmers Union is calling for greater political focus on the island's ability to trade livestock. And this comes after a change in rules affected Manx farmers. So until recently, cattle from the Isle of Man and the UK shared the same BSE status and were processed in the same way. But last year, the UK applied to change its status without including the Isle of Man, meaning some of the UK abattoirs will no longer process Manx animals. Well, Ian Parsons and Sarah Comish from the MNFU have been talking to Phil about the impact that's already being felt here.
It has to be acknowledged that an element of the responsibility also lies with Westminster. As we are a Crown dependency, Westminster has that responsibility to represent us. But obviously we're not part of those negotiations, and you know, I'm sure there is dialogue between the department and Westminster, but probably still haven't had a full explanation of how this has happened. But it's, I suppose, we are where we are, and it's we've just got to look at how we can look forward to get our status recovered back to the same as, so we're on the same trade level as the UK. But I think best case scenario, we're looking at a minimum of 2 years for that.
What does that actually mean? I mean, in terms of Manx livestock production?
It's straight away, I would say, from my point of view, it's devalued my livestock by the figures we've had in so far by more than, or towards 30% of the cattle. Obviously, it doesn't affect sheep. This is on cattle. It's not affected trade on the Isle of Man, but it has to be acknowledged that nowhere near all the cattle are traded on the Isle of Man. There's a significant number go off.
This is going to be a huge problem going forwards. It's going to be one of those issues that we're going to have to put quite a bit of focus on. We have raised it quite a few times, some of the challenges that the union could see coming on the horizon. Without being specific, there were post-Brexit, there have been some issues arising, and I think that a political focus on our ability to trade is going to be really important.
That's Sarah Comish, and before that, Ian Parsons from the Manx National Farmers Union. So, while the UK did notify the Isle of Man about the application, the Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister says her department was not told the change would also affect how UK meat is processed. Claire Barber now says she wants to see better communication between the island and the UK going forward.
We've also written to the Secretary of State in the UK to make it very clear that this is a, you know, far from ideal situation, and also to make it, you know, make them aware that this is two situations now, the BSE and also with the Blue Tongue, where we had struggled to get interaction from the UK, which has then detrimentally affected us. And it's not without us trying. So there's clearly an issue around communication.
That's the Environment Minister Claire Barber there. Coming up to 12 minutes past five, and a new dedicated space for elective surgery has opened at Nobles Hospital. Ward 7 has begun welcoming patients, making it possible with support from the Manx Breast Cancer Support Group. Siobhan went along to see the unit and speak with ward manager Lauren Whittaker and senior matron David Nealon.
Patients coming in for their procedures, their surgeries, there's always that element of anxiety whether or not there's going to be a bed for them, and we're hoping with this new unit that that's going to alleviate that anxiety, because the likelihood of something being cancelled because there's lack of beds is going to be minimal. Obviously, that's something that we can't promise that, but that's the aim of the unit.
I think it's an exciting opportunity to develop services for elective surgery. Yeah. One of the things that we're going to develop further is the enhanced recovery pathways. So that's where we can care, treat for our patients promptly and get them discharged as quickly as we can. Not for the purposes of getting them out of a hospital bed, but making sure they can get back to their own home environment.
Can you define elective surgery? What sorts of procedures would people be coming in for?
How long do you have? So there's many specialties. There'll be urology, colorectal, ENT, some vascular and general surgeries. There is a lot that we can cater for. It gives us that space where it's a bit more controlled, and like I say, it alleviates a little bit more the anxiety of coming in and not knowing if there's a bed and whether or not you're going to get cancelled.
David, you mentioned speeding up the people being able to get home and things mm-hmm. like that. Why will that make a difference then to the patients as well?
So I think if we compare it to what we've done with orthopaedic surgery, when I've been talking with my colleagues, it used to be 5, 6, 7 years ago, a patient following a hip or a knee surgery would be in hospital in between 10 and 14 days, whereas now with enhanced recovery, they're out potentially the day after their surgery. Equally with the general surgery, breast surgery, that's something mm-hmm. we hope to incorporate and develop in there.
That is senior matron David Nealon and ward manager of Ward 7, Lauren Whittaker, both talking to Siobhan there. That ward for elective surgery opened officially yesterday.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
So just a couple of things to look out for on your way home. Temporary lights on the King Edward Road in Onchan, there at the Harbour Road Junction. That's for street light replacement. In Union Mills, there are temporary lights on the main road near Snugborough, whatever you call it. That's for work on the pavements. The St Jude's Road is closed between St Jude's and Andreas. It's from now until 6. So after 6, you'll be okay to go there. But the next 45 minutes, that's still closed. And in Douglas, the Millennium Bridge is going to be shut every night this week from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. That is for maintenance work. All looking good down at the airport, and then with the steam packet, the Manxman is due into Douglas Harbour at around about 5:30, heading out again for Heysham at 7:15.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicles winter check, so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
It's coming up to 5:15. Now, after a social media campaign encouraging residents to seek support during the festive period, Port St Mary commissioners say they've seen a reduction in rent arrears. Chair Jean Tier says the campaign was designed to signpost people to different support agencies and charities if they felt they'd been overstretched during winter. And now the local authorities confirmed its arrears normally rise between £5,000 and £6,000, but this winter it's been roughly half of that. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has been talking to Mrs. Tier.
Well, we've put out on social media basically weekly for that if people were struggling that they should go and seek help rather than be letting the debts build up. And that has had a really positive effect. And also in terms of our rates, we've found that the debt has actually been reduced by 11% over the period of a year. And we intend to keep doing that because we feel it's important that people have that message.
The message went out over Christmas. Is that often a period that you find is worse for some residents and you find that your arrears do go up during that period?
It is, because obviously it's a family time. People want to buy presents and their priority is to please their family, if you like. Sometimes the actual overheads can get forgotten. So this way, it's a way of just reminding them that if they have overstretched, they can go and talk to agencies and seek some help as to maybe a payment plan. They've got debt advice out there. We've got the citizens advice one. We have the OFT advice counselling.
And for the commissioners and for the board, how important is it that residents are supported through financial difficulty periods, which Christmas is obviously one of the toughest?
It's very important. Local authorities should always have a social conscience. And part of our board strategy is to look after those that do have difficulties. And that will be ongoing.
Is the social media campaign something you're going to look at doing moving forward, sort of permanently?
We will look at doing it permanently, but not all the time, because if something's being told all the time, you stop reading the story. You have more impact by just putting it out there periodically.
That is Chair of Port St Mary Commissioners Jean Tier talking to local Democracy reporter Emma Draper. Some really positive news from down there. Coming up to 5:17, and speaking of positive news, a respected dancer and teacher from the Isle of Man has been honoured for more than 40 years of exceptional dedication to Manx culture. Ciarán Garrett, founder and chair of the Senecas Dhu Celtic Festival, has been named this year's recipient of the, and I'm going to try and pronounce it properly, Rai Blenya Vananan Award. Now, Culture Vanan says the impact of his work continues to spread, with his influence reaching far beyond one generation. And speaking to Phil after the presentation on Friday night, Ciarán was quick to acknowledge those who helped shape his own journey.
I've grown up with some wonderful people along the way, and people that have been hugely influential in my life culturally, right the way through from school years. And you see the names on those trophies, and they're names that roll off the tongue for me growing up. And to be amongst their company is really an honour and a privilege, and quite humbling. And I think that's where I probably feel that, in awe still of all these people. They've done wonderful things in Manx culture, and to be amongst those people really is a privilege.
But there are at least hundreds, if not thousands, of people that you have directly influenced as a teacher and as a cultural leader, who are now real passionate ambassadors for Manx culture, music, dance and language.
Yeah, I'm incredibly proud. I stood here tonight. I'm incredibly proud of everything that I've achieved personally, but I think it's always been a collective, and the people that have come along the way, and the names now roll off the tongue. They are not just local musicians and speakers and dancers. The Manx culture has gone much more mainstream. It's much more impressive when you go to festivals, and people that have led the way along those ways with the Kinkiolis and Thomas and David Kilgallen and Curtis and Katie, and they're now international superstars, but the next generation are coming through, and it really is through all the team effort along the way, right the way through from the early days, and I fully appreciate that, and I know that I'm a small wheel in that cog, but an incredibly proud wheel as well, and I really can only thank everybody involved in it. I'm very proud and very humbled at the same time.
Isn't that lovely? Ciarán Garrett there. Ciarán Garrett RBV, as he can now be named. It's talking to Phil Gorn after that presentation on Friday night. Some other good news, actually. FC Isle of Man manager has praised his side for dealing with Exton's Villa Height in the NWCFL Premier Division on Saturday. The Ravens earned a hard-fought 1-0 win over the Chorley team. That was thanks to a deflected goal from Jacob Crook. Afterwards, Rick Holden spoke to the club's media.
They were a big side, let's get it right. You know, I mean, there were 6'9", most of them, and they dealt with our set pieces well. Nothing dropped much, I mean. And they were uncompromising. they just cleared it, and suddenly we had to be on our toes. I mean, I thought the midfield were class, you know, with a 2-3 in there and closed down brilliantly, and they just banged it in behind. Their nine was playing on the edge of offside, and the linesman had to be sharp to make sure, you know, they didn't get fooled by it. But that was their only threat, but they were uncompromising at the back, and the keeper got kicked like a mule. I mean, he was their playmaker without doubt.
FC Alamann will face Barnoldswick Town away from home next weekend, a fixture Holden is looking forward to.
It's more or less back home for me in that part of Yorkshire. Well, they're in Lancashire. Don't tell them the part of Lancashire, even though, you know, because it's originally a Yorkshire town. It's only 6 miles or so from where I was born in Skipton and grew up. I expect to see a lot of old faces, to be honest, because they'll know I'm coming. What sort of reception I'll get, I don't know, but plenty of ammunition for them. So I'm looking forward to it, going back to the old country, see what they're... And I played there years ago when they were Barnoldswick United, and I went to grammar school with a lot of those lads. They'll be... sons and grandsons now, some of them. But no, it's a good part of the world. I like Barley, because they like to call themselves. I'm looking forward to that trip, and we'll go there. And, you know, they impressed me when it was my first game back, for Ravens. And they look quite an accomplished team, but they've had a bit of a bad time of it since. So we'll go there and give them a real go, you know, because we want to win that game. And we'll see if we can grab a few more points there.
That is FC Isle of Man manager Rick Holden talking to the club's media after that 1-0 win at the weekend. Do stay tuned to Manx Radio this evening, because on Time for Brass tonight, Ian Cottier is looking ahead to the longer evenings of spring. You can tell it's just drawing out slightly at the moment, can't you? He's got a great selection of brassy melodies to blow the rain away, so do join him at 9, or you can check out the podcast afterwards on manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider. Now, when it comes to road racing, not every hero in the paddock wears leathers. And in the latest episode of Journey to a Dream, which is a spotlight on the Manx Radio Motorsport page, it turns to the biker mums, the steady force behind the races. Katrina McIntosh-Thompson and Jane Simpson, perhaps better known as Grant Thompson and Marcus Simpson's mums, have been talking to me. And first, Kat told me that while sacrifices have had to be made over the years, she wouldn't change a thing.
Knowing that Grant appreciates it, I mean, you don't do it for they're your kids, so you'll do anything for them. But knowing that they do appreciate it, you just think, oh, well, it was all worth it. You know, I mean, like a couple of years ago, the lads were playing on the PlayStation and then it was about motocross. Oh, do you think Kat will come back on the committee? So I've now gone back to help Ramsey when I can and Peveril when I can, because it used to be that Grant would be doing an enduro and I'm doing a motocross. So I never got to watch him. Mm. So nowadays, it's if Grant's on a bike somewhere, I'm not available. But we've got a bit of a clash. We've got Circuit of Man coming up in September, which clashes, I think, with the Celtic match. So I'll be running from both events. So that'll be fun. From the Innovation Centre to Jerby Racetrack.
Well done. Good on you.
Yeah. What about for you, Jet? Again, as Kat says, you don't do it for any sort of recognition, but the fact Marcus does see how much you've given up over the years to support his dream.
Again, thinking back, I remember when Marcus got second on the Manx, and you have to have a certain pass to get through into the presentation area. I don't know what paddock area you really do.
Yeah.
And I was up on the grandstand. No, I wasn't up on the grandstand. I was just standing back like everybody else. Anyway, apparently he shouted, "Where's my mum?" And you're not allowed through into there unless you've got a proper pass. So somehow or other, I got one, and literally, and my friend was up on the grandstand and videoed me running down. And it's one of my favourite photographs as well. I'm just hugging him and going, well done, you know. Could ask me the lap times. I might have them written down that he's told me. But in all honesty, I never care what he's done, so long as they come back.
They've got a smile on their face.
Anybody I know, Marcus, obviously, they're back and they're safe. That's all that matters to me. I don't care less about times.
That's Jane Simpson and Katrina McIntosh-Thompson, the mums of Grant Thompson and Marcus Simpson. You can find the full conversation. Honestly, they were utterly brilliant. It's on the Manx Radio Motorsport page or wherever you get your podcasts from. Speaking of brilliant, here's Darren Timpson with Tonight's Sport, which is brought to you by The Print Shed.
Fast and mime. Starting with football, and after a weather-affected Saturday, the Canada Life Floodlit Cup went ahead on Sunday with Peel beating Douglas Royal at the ball. Sarah Wignall's hat-trick and goals from Lisa Costain, Becky Corkish and Pepper Wallace saw the West Preston has produced a dominant display of the Royals to retain the trophy. Meanwhile, the fixture also saw the youngest ever refereeing group for a Manx Senior Cup final. Tom Elson, Caleb Christian and Lachlan Mitchell, all under the age of 20, featured with Jason Hill as the fourth official, making an average age of 25. On to Saturday, where unfortunately only one game of men's football was able to be played. St Mary's beat Douglas Royal 8-0 in the ECAP FA Cup final, while every other fixture was postponed due to waterlogged pitches. It means the seven remaining FA Cup games will be played this coming weekend. In rugby, Isle of Man star Bevan Rodd came off the bench in England's 39-point victory over Wales in the Guinness Six Nations at the weekend. It was the 11th cap for the Sale Sharks forward, who will be hoping to retain his place ahead of Steve Borthwick's squad announcement for the fixture against Scotland next Saturday. Locally, Douglas were well beaten in the Regional 2 North West on Saturday by Birkenhead Park. They lost 17-3 at home, which dropped them back to 4th in the standings. Elsewhere, Vagabonds got a long-awaited victory in the women's NC2 North South. They beat Crewe and Nantwich 31-10 for their first victory in three games, with their last points coming in December. And so the Nomads produced a shock in the Harford Homes Manx Cup. Taking on Vagabonds, it was expected to be a victory for the Braddon side. However, Nomads won the game 21-7. In hockey, Bakers A extended their lead to 4 points in the Men's Premier League on Saturday. They beat Valkaisee 3-1. Meanwhile, there were wins for Harlequins A and Vikings A. In the Ladies Premier League, Valkaisee suffered their first defeat of the season as they lost 2-1 to Bakers A. The loss also sees them drop to second in the table behind Castletown A, who put 8 past Castletown B.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. Well, that is all from Update this evening. Coming up next, it's Agenda with Phil. And tonight, from Manx Gaelic and UNESCO biosphere status to new opportunities for culture, business and education, the Education Minister, Daphne Kane, will discuss the Isle of Man's first appearance at the Celtic Forum and will also give an update on Castle Rushen High School. And after that, it's Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley. And if you know your music, you can put your knowledge to the test with Double Gold. If you can guess the release years of two classic songs, you could win that voucher for the Ocean Views Bar and Grill OV Lounge. Then it's time for Brass with Ian Cottier at 9 before Dave joins you from 10 p.m. with After Hours. Just a reminder that if you are in the Douglas area, the Millennium Bridge is going to be shut every night this week. It's from 8 p.m. until 6 a.m. That is for maintenance work. Breakfast will be here at 6 a.m. in the morning with Ben, and Update will be back at 5 tomorrow. Have a lovely evening.